Praise God. A Sunday school teacher was teaching the Ten Commandments to her 5 and 6-year-olds after explaining the commandment of honor your father and your mother. She asked, "Is there a commandment that teaches us how to treat our brothers and sisters?" One little boy shouted, "Thou shalt not kill." That's been my house for the last couple of days. Sheila said something this morning that I thought was funny because she was up with them, of course, before me, I'll readily admit. But it was 6 o'clock when I heard them, and was it 5:30 when they got up? Yeah, I heard that. It was 6 o'clock when I heard them, and I walked out, and I said, "What did I miss?" And she said, "Fun fact," she said, "grandkids don't time change." She said, "They're going to get up early no matter what." So it's been an interesting couple days at my house. I'm tired. I'll just say it. I'm tired. We took about yesterday to Cheesecake Factory. Then we went to the aquarium, and just the Cheesecake Factory alone, when we were done, I walked out and I had food all over me. I was tired already. And I looked at her and I said, "We're not even halfway home. We've got events to do." And I'm wore out. So God bless my daughter and son-in-law for the job they do. We're giving them back for a few days.
We're trying to celebrate your birthday big.
Yeah, try to do it too big, I think.
We went too big.
Yeah, we bit off more than we could chew. But that's all right. That's all right. Get to spoil them, send them back, let them work out the kinks, and then we get them right back, you know. That's the way that works. All right, you ready for the word?
Yes.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to dive into your word, to see what it is that you have for us this morning. Your word, as we always say, is life-giving, life-changing to all that choose to believe it and act on it. May we see something in your word today that we've never seen before so that we can become and experience a side of you that we've never experienced before. We trust you for it. We believe you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. I'll invite you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 2.
Amen.
Now, you know I'm a man of the word. You're going to be flipping your Bible quite a bit because, as we always say, I like to say anyways, I can give you my opinions, but I think the thing that's going to make the difference in your life is the Word of God. I've got a lot of good opinions, trust me. I'd like to share them all with you. But the thing that the Bible says will change your life and set you free is the Word. And so the message that we're going to see today, I believe, is something that you're already familiar with. And so in a way, this is just a message to encourage what you already know. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it says this, that you may be blameless and harmless. It's another way of saying innocent or not guilty, without fault. Paul says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you, everybody point to you, take your little finger and point to yourself, say me, among whom ye or me, I shine as lights in the world. One translation says that you radiate like a bright, brilliant light. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. As sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. The Message Bible says, carrying the light-giving message into the night. You know, we'll see the word darkness here a number of times, but you understand night, darkness. When the Bible's talking about that, it's not just talking about day and night. It's talking about the absence of light, the absence of God, the absence of revelation. You understand? And so it says, carrying the light-giving message into the night. How many of you know we ought to be demonstrating love, joy, gladness, hope that the Word provides us? We ought to be demonstrating that to other people. You've probably heard the phrase used before, but St. Francis of Assisi once said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. See, how we live our life determines a lot in the world that we live in. How we live it in front of other people. Not just what we say, but our actions. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you." Isn't that right? In other words, why are you living the way that you are? What is it about you that determines who you are? What is it about you? What is it that's different about you? You ever had somebody say, "Man, there's just something different about you"? What is it? Well, that's the light of life, right? Sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. Look over at Matthew chapter 5. This is Jesus talking. Matthew chapter 5, he says this, verse number 14. Matthew 5, 14. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, you have something special on the inside of you. You've got the light of life. You've got a hope. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, God placed this light, this hope, this power in you that's greater than any power or adversary that you would ever come across. That power is on the inside of you. That light is on the inside of you. It's the light of life. Again, Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that follows me," see, that's you, that's us, "he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You know, we were never created to back down in life. We were never created to retreat, to get into fear and intimidation, running away from difficult times, hard times. How many of you know we're going to experience, if you haven't already, if you've been in a bubble, you're going to experience hard times. Now, I'm not speaking that over you. I'm just saying, you know, the Bible says in this life we would experience those things. Well, how are you going to act? How are you going to respond? Run away from the difficulty or stand up? You know, the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand up in the midst of those hard times. I like it, and I say it so much, I probably say it in every message I do, but Keith Moore said, if it shows up in your life, you're well able to overcome it. Why? It's because of who's on the inside of you. Right? 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." We have the light of life shining bright inside of us. And it's enough. I said it's enough. See, the God that's on the inside of you is greater than the problem that you may be facing on the inside. I like the way Romans says it in Romans 8:11. It says, "The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you." Come on now. Did you get a hold of that? The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Glory to God. What kind of power is that? Resurrection power? How many of you know the grave couldn't hold him down? Right? Healing power? Victory power? Whatever power you need, that's on the inside of you. Come on now. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. The forces of darkness couldn't keep him down. Nothing could keep him down. Come on, and that power is alive. That resurrection, that immense power is in you. Think of it this way. I've always driven Mustangs for the most part over the years. I've had three of them now, and this Mustang that I just bought, I really like this thing. It's the first time I bought one that was a legitimate sports car. Now this thing has 460 horsepower, and I could go on and talk over my head, but it has 460 horsepower. In other words, this thing will get up and go. And so I like this car. You know, the other ones that I've had over the years have been V6s, and so they didn't have as much. They had 300 horsepower or something. But to put it in perspective, you know, the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Think about it this way. I was thinking about that car. You know, the horsepower is simply the power needed. You know, if you're talking about 460 horsepower, it's the power needed to move that 460 pounds 1 foot in 1 second. So I'm helping you now. Now, if you want details, go talk to David and Tony. They'll give you better details because these guys, these are car guys. They know what they're talking about. You can go talk to Lynn Auburn. He's a car guy. These guys, and I'm probably leaving some of you out. I'm talking as far as I know, okay? I'm trying to sound intelligent, trying to sound like I know what I'm talking about. 460 horsepower. That means you're trying to move 460 pounds 1 foot in 1 second. All right? So here's a way to think of it. You're talking about the power that an engine produces. In other words, the more horsepower means faster and quicker. That's what that means. And so here's the thing. The greater the horsepower, the greater the performance. The greater the horsepower, the greater the acceleration. But how many of you know that 460 horsepower engine out there won't do a bit of good until I crank it up and I step on the pedal? And I like to step on the pedal, let me tell you. Well, again, it doesn't matter. That could be just like a simple V6 if you drive it lightweight. But if you step on the gas, if you call on that power, in other words, what's under your hood? What kind of power you got on the inside of you? You've got resurrection power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you, but you've got to activate it. You've got to turn it on by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of life is on the inside of you, but you've got to stay connected. Amen? You've got to keep your foot on the accelerator. You've got no time in this life to take your foot off the accelerator and take a step back. See, maybe you're facing challenges in life. Maybe some things have come up. Maybe you got some reports that you didn't like. There's no time to back off. There's no time to put it in reverse. You've got great power on the inside of you. You've got the light of life on the inside of you. John chapter 1, verse number 4, Jesus, talking about Jesus. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came as a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Glory to God. You're there, John. Turn over, turn back all the way to the end there. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. Says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Let me encourage you, fix your eyes on the light. See, we're talking about Jesus is the light. This is the Word, right? And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among. Talking about Jesus, talk about the Word. Fix your eyes on the light. Look to the brightness, and it will drive out any confusion, any doubt, any despair that you may be experiencing that might be surrounding you. Fix your eyes on the light. We're finding out where the light is, aren't we? Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding unto the simple. So you want that aha moment? You want to turn the light on? How do you do that? You open up that word. You open up the Bible. Amen. Notice that word there, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. You know who that's talking about? The day star? Who's the day star? Look over at Revelation 22, 16. Revelation 22. Notice it's in red, so who's that? Revelation 22, 16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. See, he refers to him as the day star, the bright and morning star. Here in Revelation, it says the bright and morning star. He is the bright morning star that shines in life's darkest moments. So in other words, when you come across, maybe you're good. Maybe you're not facing anything. But I guarantee you, we're surrounded by people in this world that are living hopeless lives, that seem to, it just seems like their lives are falling apart. What do they need? They need the morning star. They need the day star. They need the light that comes from Jesus. They need Jesus. Amen? Are you following me? So he's the bright morning star that shines in life's darkest moments. I had a buddy that I grew up with and lives out in Lubbock. He's a district court judge, and we would go with his dad owned a dry cleaners, and so we would all pile in this van that he had that he'd go pick up these clothes from different cleaners. He had different shops around the Austin area, and so but we would go to Texas Ranger ball games, Astros ball games, you know. And so we would go in his van, and we wouldn't get a hotel room. We would just pile in this van, and he fixed it up, you know, so all the guys could lay on these cots in the back of this van. Well, inevitably, you know, we're coming home, and it's late. You know, a ball game gets done late. And so so we would drive back in this van, and he would pull over to get some rest. So we'd pull into these rest stops or whatever, and so he'd pull over to get some rest, but he would always wake us up, because, you know, it's the middle of the night. He'd always wake us up, and he'd go, did you guys hear that? I mean, every time, you would think you'd get used to him. Every time, he'd smack his hands. He'd go, did you guys hear that? We're like, what are you talking about? He goes, you didn't hear that? It was the crack of dawn. We're like, what are you talking about? And then he would pull open that van door, and you'd look outside. It's just started to get bright. Sun's just starting to come up. That's the message people need, is the day star, the morning star, the light that shines in darkness is Jesus himself, and he's ready to shine the light on people's darkest moments. Are you getting this? Look over at John chapter 12. Go back to John. I was amazed as I was studying this out how many times, and you understand I'm just skimming the surface of the number of times the Bible talks about the light of life, Jesus being the day and morning star, and all those scriptures. John chapter 12, verse number 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the what? Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Excuse me. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be, now watch this, he calls us the children of light. It's interesting, isn't it? Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once in darkness, but now are you the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I like the Passion Translation. It says, live as children flooded with his revelation light. Glory to God. Amen. You're there in John. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you with me this morning? See, I'm a child of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, you are the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Darkness throughout the Word, throughout the world that we live in, darkness symbolizes all that is negative, all that is hateful, all that is harmful, all that is evil, all that is fearful. Darkness brings discomfort, comes with pain, comes with sorrow, comes with tears. Darkness has come to mean all that separates us from God himself. So we don't celebrate darkness, you understand? That's why, like last week, you know, we're not trying to stifle anybody's fun, you know, about going out trick-or-treating and stuff like that. We just don't celebrate darkness. And you know, we've done it before, and we've gone through things and given you history and all that. You don't need a history lesson, but if you know one thing about Halloween, it celebrates darkness, celebrates evil. Well, 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, what fellowship has light with darkness? Well, that's kind of a rhetorical question. None. There is no fellowship with light and dark. Well, what's the opposite of light? Darkness. What is the opposite of light? It's darkness. I grew up an artist. You know, the technical art term for darkness is the absence of light. Right? Black, darkness, black is the absence of light. It's another way of thinking, it's the lack of illumination. See, when I was in college, I worked at a frame store. You know that, but I worked in a frame store, and one of the things that we sold there was Thomas Kincaid paintings. How many of you know Thomas Kincaid? He passed away many years ago, but he was called the Painter of Light. And so you could take his paintings, and if you bought one of them from us, we encouraged you to get one of these lights that hangs on the top of it. Because just looking at a normal Thomas Kincaid painting, it's fascinating anyways. You know, lots of bright colors and bright paints and all that. But whenever you take a light and you hang it on top of this light, I mean, it takes on a whole new look. Something about just adding light to the picture just made it pop. And so he was called the Painter of Light. Well, in John chapter 3, we see Jesus again. John chapter 3, what are we talking about? We're talking about if somebody's in darkness, they lack illumination. They need to have the light turned on. And that light is Jesus. John chapter 3, verse number 15. Familiar passage, of course. Jesus talking, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because of their evil deeds. How many of you know that's the day we live in? Men love darkness rather than light because of their evil deeds. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed or reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they were wrought in God. Glory to God. Psalm 112:4 says, unto the upright. Say, that's me. Unto the upright. Now, that was only a few of you now. If you're upright, say, that's me. There we go. Got me nervous there for a minute. Psalm 112:4 says, unto the upright there arises light in darkness. I had an old ball coach that when I was with him, he had been doing it for many years. He just retired a couple of years ago. But he used to have this saying, we would get into ball season, and he had some rules for us, you know, like any good coach does. He set some ground rules for not only during practice, but in your personal time. Now, you understand, back then we didn't have social media. We didn't even have cell phones. And so that was good times. But he had this rule. He said, now, guys, he said, I have very few rules, you know, of course, you know, about respecting his time, respecting yourself, coming prepared, working hard, all those good times for practice. But he always gave us a 12 o'clock curfew. And you understand, I lived in a small town of 4,000 people, so if you broke curfew, guess what? Everybody knew it. If you were out driving around, everybody knew it. Besides the fact, that was a day and time when honor meant something. And so if you agreed to his honor code, so to speak, then you just didn't get out. And so, you know, he always said this. He said everybody has a midnight curfew during ball season. Because he said this. He says, nothing good happens after midnight but that which is immoral, insanitary, or downright illegal. That's what he always told us. He said, nothing good happens after midnight but that which is immoral, insanitary, or downright illegal. I never forgot it, because it's the truth. Come on now. It's the truth. We don't celebrate darkness. Very few good things happen in the cloak of night. Amen. What are we saying? Stay in the light. Stay in the light. Both naturally, spiritually, stay in the light. We were never created to operate in the dark, to live, to exist, to operate in darkness. Why? Because that's the devil's territory. You know that while I was preparing this, I was reminded in Exodus, you know that in Exodus chapter 10, it's talking about the plagues. And in Exodus chapter 10, again, talking about the different plagues that came on the Egyptians because of Pharaoh having a hard heart, not letting the children of Israel go. But you know, in Exodus chapter 10, verse 23, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand towards the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt." You know, sometimes we blow by that and we think, oh, there was all the plagues, you know, the frogs and the lice and this and that and darkness. It says it was a darkness that you could feel. That's the thing I want you to understand this morning, is there is truly a darkness that you can feel. And you don't want any part of it. You want to stay in the light. You don't want to be involved. You understand the Bible tells us, if you go on and read this, it says that it was so, it actually says in verse 22, there was a thick darkness over the land for 3 days, and they did not see each other, neither rose from their place for 3 days, but the children of Israel, what did it say? They had light in their dwelling. I said the children of Israel, that doesn't mean they had a candle. Are you seeing that? The darkness was so tangible, they didn't move for 3 days, but the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That's you and I. That's symbolic of us. We have a light. At times it may seem like we're in a dark world with darkness all around us, no good reports coming. I mean, if you turn on the news, it just feels dark and oppressive. I was telling Sheila yesterday, I saw a report, there was some kind of concert in Houston yesterday or day before, I guess it was Friday night, and you know, you talk about an ungodly group of people. You know, this not going to name the names; it doesn't matter. But it was a concert where people shouldn't have been there, just celebrating darkness. It was all in darkness. You know, the whole stage was set up that way, and they were illuminating fire and all this. But anyways, the main person, the key singer, whatever, came out. And as soon as he came out, the crowd surged forward. And there was like 50,000, 60,000 people at this concert. And when the crowd surged forward, they began to squish each other against the barricades. And they started passing out. About 8 people died. 100 people, I think it said, ended up going to the emergency room. They were saying that in this moment, that it's a proven fact that people started injecting people with syringes of an unknown substance. They don't know what this was. I mean, you talk about ungodliness. People are dying. Huh? This is the kind of crazy. Listen, I could go on about crazy. We see it. We all see it. It's crazy. But you have the light of life. You have the light of life. I said, you have the light of life. You ought to be shining as lights in this dark world. In this dark world. Colossians 1:13 says, talking about the Father, it says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You understand there is a kingdom of darkness? It just said it right here. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Well, that's the devil's empire, isn't it? That's the devil's domain. It's the power of darkness. But he's translated us as believers into the kingdom of his dear Son. 2 Corinthians 4:4, verse number 4 and 6, it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds. See, he wants nothing more than for you to walk around in darkness. Blind. Unilluminated. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. What's the gospel? It's the good news about a good God. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, the good news about a good God, who is the image of God, lest it shine unto them. Amen. You know, that's why we talk about, oftentimes you'll hear us talking about grabbing a hold of the book of Ephesians and praying the Ephesians prayers, for not only for yourself, but for others. Well, part of that Ephesians prayer in chapter 1, verse 18, talks about that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. See, we're talking about turning the switch on, illuminating your mind, illuminating your spirit. Amen. Glory to God. Go all the way to the back. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city, now, where are we talking about here? Revelation, where are we talking about? In the very end, we're talking about heaven. Revelation 21, 23. How many of you want to go to heaven? We're not loading up a bus yet, but it ought to be our goal. Revelation 21, 23 says, get a hold of this. Who's the light of life? Jesus. We're called children of light. Where are we going to be going? Verse 23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb was the light. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut all day by day, for there shall be no night there. We are called the children of light. Huh? Look back at Acts. Acts chapter 26. This is talking about Paul's conversion. It's interesting. You know, Paul's standing before Agrippa and he says, give an account for yourself. I like verse number two. Verse number one, then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself. Verse two, he says, I think myself happy, O King Agrippa. You know, here's Paul. He's standing before Agrippa. He's being accused. And he says, I think myself happy because I shall answer for myself this day before you concerning the things whereof I am accused of, especially because I know you to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore, I beseech you to hear me patiently. So here he is standing before Agrippa. Now watch this. We're going to go on down here. And verse number 13, it says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Paul's talking about his conversion. So he's standing before Agrippa. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in a Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said unto you, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecuted. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen and of those things which I will appear unto you. Now watch this. Delivering you from the people, from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send you. Now I believe this is a call for all of us. He says, I'm sending you, verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I believe with all my heart that that's our purpose. Just like God, just like Jesus, this is in red, isn't it? This, just like Jesus told Paul, I believe we all have that same call on our life to open their eyes, turn on the light, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Are you seeing this? Two more scriptures. Look over at 1 John chapter 1. Again, I'm just skimming the surface here. Take your time. Go look up these scriptures for yourself. 1 John 1, verse number 5. Verse 5 through 7. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Don't you ever let somebody tell you that somebody got sick because God was trying to teach them a lesson. That something bad happened in their life because God was trying to teach them a lesson. God is good, the devil's bad. God is light, the devil operates in darkness. That's common sense Christianity. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. You're there in chapter 1. Look at chapter 2, verse number 8. We'll close with this. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which that is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and true light now shines. He that says that he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even unto now. For he that loves his brother abides in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and not knows where he goes, because he is in darkness and his eyes are blinded. Now watch this. One of the greatest messages that you can learn this morning is to walk in the light as he is in the light. How do we do that? By walking in love. You want to be a representation of Jesus Christ? You want to be a light in a dark world? How do you do that? You turn on the light by walking in love towards other people. And let me tell you something. Sometimes that's not as easy as you think it'd be. Huh? Sometimes it's not as easy as you think it'd be. I mean, just try going to a restaurant right now. Maybe you work in the restaurant field. I mean, you try going into a restaurant right now, and I mean, you got to have the utmost patience, because they're short-staffed. They're barely able to get the food out. Everything's, you know, drive-through. And if you do go in to eat, most of the time they don't have some sufficient people to take care of you on the inside. Something that would normally take, you know, 5 minutes is now taking 20. I mean, that's all around us. That's just business side of things. You got to have patience. You got to learn to walk in love. I think it was funny. We go to lunch every day, and Heather and I saw a sign the other day, and it said something about, be patient with our staff. They're the only ones you have, or something like that. Be patient with our staff. They're the only ones we have. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. Everybody stand to your feet. What are we talking about? You have a responsibility, just like Paul. You have a responsibility to shine as lights in this dark world. And we do live in a dark world. There's so much more. We didn't even get into this message like I want to. We'll pick it up when we next have the next opportunity. But we live in a dark world. We shine as lights. That's our responsibility. But when you choose to make that decision to shine as lights in this dark world, what does the Bible say? It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. I mean, the very scripture that we started with is that scripture that says that you ought to be able to give an account in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in this world. Right? Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. What is that hope that's in you? It's Jesus Christ. I once was in darkness, but now I'm in light. Why? Because I found Jesus. Jesus is the answer for anybody that's going through a dark time. Oh, lift your hands this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is life-giving. Your word is the light of life. And we endeavor this morning to be that light in a dark world. People that are facing hard times, challenging times, you are that light. And so, Father, we thank you as we speak your word, the life-giving word of God, may people's eyes be illuminated. May they see the goodness of God in the land of the living. May they see something about us that leads them to ask questions, to ask us, what is it about the hope that's in you? That we would have the answer that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the hope. Jesus is the very thing that they need in the midst of the situations and the peril and the darkness that they're operating in. Oh, we thank you, Father. Father, I thank you that you chose me. That you chose me. That you illuminated your light, your life to me. I humbly say thank you. I humbly say thank you for giving your life for me. You saw such value in my life, but you chose me. We're all precious in the eyes of God. Anybody that you could ever come across in this world is valuable in the eyes of God. May you make the decision today and forevermore to look at your fellow man in a different light, and to see that everybody that you come in contact with, whether they're in the midst of sin or turmoil or life's harshness, maybe they're just simply mean, God sees value in that life. Jesus gave His life for that life. Oh, Father, help us to turn on the light of life to those that are around us. May we be a beacon of hope that others can see, to lead, to guide, to direct those to You. We thank You for it. I don't ever want to close a service without giving somebody the opportunity to say, Lord, I don't know what it means to have the light of life turn on in my life. If you're hearing the sound of my voice, maybe you're watching online and you say, I've never made Jesus Lord of my life. I feel like I'm in a dark world surrounded by hopelessness. If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Your day can change in a moment. Your outlook on life can change in a moment. All it takes is to say, I accept You as my Lord and Savior. He turns the light on and things are different. Is that you this morning? Say, Pastor John, pray for me. I need the light turned on. I'm tired of living in darkness. Anybody at all? Glory to God. He's a good God. He's ready to do good things for you. Amen. Glory to God. Well, everybody lift up your head. See, I'm a child of light, and I serve a God of light. So go illuminate your world. Amen? Praise God. Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret will be back with us next Sunday. Glad you came. Don't forget Sunday services. It was an honor to be here with you this morning. We love you. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen.